Mr. Morgan have been serving Treasure Coast motorists since 1986 with the best in automotive care. A1 Auto Care is located across the railroad tracks at the next crossing south of Bridge Road in Hope Sound. A1 Auto Care is available at 546-6667, where honesty is their only policy. That's 772-546-6667.
Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible. As I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word, I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. And I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated.
Hello, this is Dr. Gerard Curry. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday, and we were looking at the fact that unforgiveness is one of the main reasons why people do not receive what they believe in God for in faith. And we looked at a few scriptures, and we've been looking at Mark 11, 22 through 24. In fact, up to verse 26, the Bible says, when you pray, believe you receive it and you will have it. But then he adds and says, and when you stand praying for whatever it is you want, if you have aught against anyone, forgive them. For if you forgive them not, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses against you. So forgiveness is a big no-no in a believer's life. You're locking yourself up in the prison doors in your own spirit. You need to open those doors, let those people go, and you will come out of the prison. So let's pick up where we left off yesterday, and let's hear what God tells us. And a big God bless you as we continue.
Nothing anyone's done to you is half a trillion times as bad as what Jesus had to face. And He forgave. Amen. Amen. I'll just let that stew for a second. Before Jesus went and faced the devil, He got confirmation of forgiveness. He's the one who said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any. Oh, God. And so we think sometimes, you know, that a little bit of leaven is not going to harm the thing. Well, you know, the Song of Solomon 2:15, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, says it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. Right? It's the little foxes that destroy the vine. Talking about little bits of sin, yeah, and they're little bits of skating by, little bits of compromise, a little bit of leaven. Come on. Because it'll go from a little bit of leaven to a little bit of 12, a little bit of 12 to a little bit of 13, until you've got a little bit of 100. Amen. And sometimes it's not the big issues, because as soon as we've done a big sin, oh God, forgive me. But the little issues, it's a little bit of unforgiveness. Ah, those are the little foxes that'll destroy your future. That'll destroy the promises in your life. I'm not saying you're going to go to hell for this, but I am saying it's going to withhold some of the blessings in your life. Can you say amen? I mean, really, if you have aught against any, the word aught means any kind of grudge, ill will or wrong feeling about anyone at all for any reason. And this means whether it's founded or unfounded. This means whether they deserve it or not. This means whether you have been wronged or not. You still don't have the right to hold unforgiveness. Even when they stabbed him and killed him, he said, forgive them. You don't have a right to hold unforgiveness in your heart. You know, I've told this story before and I'm going to tell it again. For some of you that don't know it, I was in a church for many, many years. I was a worship leader. I was very involved in the church. I was a pastor's closest friend. And one day, God told me to get out of that ministry because stuff was going on. And I won't go into detail about that. That's between them and God. Stuff went on, and God eventually said, you've got to get out of here. And I had to go out of the nest. I had to be kicked out the nest. You know, like the eaglet, because I went dragging my fingernails because I'd been there too long and I was rooted and grounded in that church. And I was like the eagle being kicked out of the nest. I didn't want to go. I fought this thing. And it wasn't once that it happened. It was three times. And so God eventually said to me, you're getting out. And I spoke to the man's spiritual covering. He came and spent a week with me in America here. And we discussed everything. And he said, you got to go. He saw and he understood and he knew. Because he dealt with the whole situation. And so for the next 6 months. Now listen, when I said goodbye, the guy wanted to beat me up. You got to realize I was living in his apartment. I was driving his car. I had nothing but two suitcases. And there I'm standing in the middle of nowhere with two suitcases type of thing. But God. And for the next 6 months, I was praying, Father, get this man to repent. Soften his heart. Let him repent of what he's done wrong so that things can be right with his life and things. Let him repent. Make him repent. Bring him to repentance every day for 6 months. And then one day, the still small voice, I'm praying in the morning, that still small voice said, when are you going to forgive him? And I said, what? I said, Lord, I've been praying 6 months for this man. 6 months for him to repent. God said these words. Listen, I'm telling you, this is serious stuff. God said these words to me. He said, if you had forgiven him, you wouldn't be praying for his repentance. You'd be praying for his restoration. And I got it right there. God wants that man at the top of his game. God wants him to be restored. I want him to repent because he needs to know what he did wrong. Come on. You got not him to. He needs to know how bad he treated me, what he did wrong. How he's wrong, he's wrong. That's what I wanted. Not even seeing it, God said, you wouldn't even pray for repentance. You'd pray for restoration, that I would get him where I want him. And I saw the difference. I said, oh my God, there's such a fine line here. Unforgiveness is a blessing thief. Really. Just like unbelief is a blessing thief, unforgiveness is a blessing thief. Mm-mm. Say it. Unforgiveness is a blessing thief. When you get a hold of this in your life, you'll change it. Amen. And so I changed what I was praying for, and my ministry that God put in, God's ministry in me, just started to flourish. Yeah, a simple little thing like that. Wow. Now watch this, Matthew 6. This is the model for prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17, where Jesus prayed to the Father. That was Jesus' prayer, the Lord's Prayer. This is when they said, Jesus, teach us to pray like John the Baptist disciples were taught to pray. How do we pray? And this is the model prayer. This is how to pray. Not this is the Lord's Prayer, but we call it the Lord's Prayer. And we're talking about Matthew 6, verse 9. In this manner, Jesus said, pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now watch here. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see, forgive me because I'm forgiving them. Oh, you don't get it yet. He's telling you, ask for forgiveness only when you've asked for forgiveness for your debtors. Come on. Now watch here. The Passion says, forgive us the wrongs we have done as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. I'll read that again. Passion Translation, verse 12 of Matthew 6. Forgive us the wrongs we have done as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. You can't get away from this. You can run, but you can't hide. Now you know. Now you're responsible. Why do you tell me now I'm going to walk around in forgiveness? I don't want to forgive. It feels so good to my flesh, to walk in unforgiveness. You're harming yourself. You're harming yourself. Joyce Meyer said it best. She said, if you hold unforgiveness towards anyone else, you're drinking poison expecting them to die. You're harming yourself. I'm telling you now. And then verse 13, watch here. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right? And we stop there. That's our prayer. How many of you have gone past that prayer? And so we stop there. But let me tell you what verse 14 says. Verse 14 of that same prayer. God's telling them, here's the model to pray. And if you want your prayers answered, you better forgive. Watch what he says here. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Oh, did you know that in the Lord's Prayer? Verse 15, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow-wee. Let that sink in. Come on. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, it does not necessarily mean death to your physical body, death to your spiritual body, but it could be death to dreams and visions and financial blessings and things. It's going to bring something unless you just get it under the blood. Father, forgive me. I've had unforgiveness in my heart towards so-and-so. Even though when they divorced me or didn't divorce me or whatever they did, even though they did that, even though they stole, even though they did whatever. That's why Jesus said, love even those that abuse you. That's a tough one, Lord. Come on. Just teach me how to make money. Love those that despitefully use you and abuse you. If someone slaps you on the left, turn to the right. Come on. All right, go to Matthew 5 and verse 23. Now, if we believe Jesus is Lord, and I believe you do, and I believe you're children of God, and I believe you're in covenant with God, if you believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and every tongue is going to confess, and every knee is going to bow to the name of Jesus, if you're one of those people that you're already bowing and confessing, then you've got to believe what he's telling you. Simple. There's no discussion. I don't have to go to theology school and theories and speak to 10 people about this. What do you think he means when he says forgive? You think he means we should forgive? I mean, you know. What do you think he means when he says love your enemies? I can't love you. When Jesus came, they expected him to come and overthrow the Roman Empire through battle. Like the guy they let go instead of Jesus that time. Remember that? Where they let him go and kept Jesus. He was the one who raised an insurrection and was fighting. They wanted Jesus to come and fight for them. Jesus came in with a love attitude. He said, no, love those that abuse you. Be kind to those that abuse you. If they ask you or they want something from you, if they take your coat, give them your tunic as well. No, you can't be the Christ. The Christ is coming. He's going to destroy them. Why'd you come in on a donkey? Why don't you come in on a white horse like soldiers and kings do? You see, Jesus turned your theology upside down, inside out, and give it a spook. We got to trust God. Believe him. When he says forgive, forgive. But it's so hard. I know. It is hard. But it's doable. And anybody can do it. All right, look at Matthew 5. Are you there? Verse 23. Look what he says here now. Therefore, this is God speaking, the Lord. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, what is your gift? Can be your talent playing music, can be your finances, can be your ability to draw crowds to you. Whatever your gift is, whatever your gift is, when you bring it to the altar. You see, I'm standing on an altar. I'm not standing on a stage or a platform. People in the world that are stars, so-called stars, stand on a stage and a platform. This is an altar. And when you're on this altar, all flesh is sacrificed to God. We don't want to be seen. God must be seen. When you're on a stage, look at me. Look at me. Amen. And so, he says, when you bring your gift to the altar. Now watch, this one really got me. And you remember that your brother has something against you. I don't even have something against him. He's got it against me. Verse 24, leave your gift at the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift.
Hello, this is Dr. Gerald Curry of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie. We trust that our daily broadcast is a blessing in your life. We strive to bring you a word that will strengthen your faith and improve your relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you would like to sow a tax-deductible gift into this ministry, please go to traditionworshipcenter.com and click on the donate or give button and follow the prompts. Thank you for your continued support and God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful tradition